Begin after six taps. One, two, three, four, five, six.
So we are usually a film-centric podcast, but we do want to acknowledge other mediums when they, you know, do a good job. So if we must, we're going to, let's talk about our top five TV shows. Let's just list them off real quick.
Okay, so my four and five are Steven Universe and Bob's Burgers.
Okay.
Which have been going on for a while, actually. Steven Universe started in 2013. I think Bob's Burgers did, too. I'm including them for two reasons. One, I think people don't talk about animation enough when they talk about TV. And unless it's BoJack Horseman. And two, these are two shows, one of which is geared more towards an adult audience, Bob's Burgers, and one of which is geared more towards kids, which are messing around a lot with constructions of family and gender norms and doing it all in a spirit of fun and mostly getting away with it, too. Like, Steven Universe has a weird alien plot and ukulele songs, and it feels a lot like Sailor Moon meets Adventure Time, which it should because it's created by Rebecca Sugar, who was a producer on Adventure Time. But it also, like, it has non-binary characters, and it has, you know, a main character who really does not care about how he presents himself in terms of not looking masculine enough, even though he's a boy, and a lot of other stuff that's really, really cool that happens in it. Never comes off as preachy, always comes across as fun, and also Nicki Minaj is a voice actor occasionally, which is hilarious.
Nice.
So, Steven Universe, highly check it out. I end up singing the songs too much and too often.
All right, number three then?
Yes, we're on number three. So number three,
okay.
Number three is Jane the Virgin, which was on my best
Love
of last year as well. It has just gotten better since then, which I honestly wasn't expecting because I hate baby plot lines. I was like, oh, the minute the baby's born, I'm going to be out. But it tackles new motherhood really well, while also being incredibly funny. Number two is Jessica Jones. Which I know is kind of a hot... I know not everybody loved it, and there are a lot of reasons not to love it. The reason it ranked so high for me is a lot of conversation has been happening this year about not only the portrayal of women in TV, but also violence against women in TV. The comment about a female character getting refrigerated or fridged because it's easier to kill her off or sexually assault her to, like, spur the main character forward. And a lot of conversation about the portrayal of rape. I stopped watching Game of Thrones this year because I just couldn't take it anymore. But without actually showing sexual assault, Jessica Jones, out of a superhero fantasy in New York, constructs a story about the after effects and the difficulties that survivors of sexual assault go through. Its main character, Jessica Jones, is suffering from PTSD. The bad guy is basically the personification of rape culture, who has a superpower that lets him control whatever people do. And I thought it was really well handled and surprisingly emotionally honest, especially for a Marvel show.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll reserve my comments.
I'm not going
to
get to hear
it,
your
so
comments.
I can't comment.
Yeah, it's not pleasant and it's not fun. I just wasn't expecting it, especially from Marvel.
All right.
Fair
cool
enough. Fair enough. And number, I bet I can guess what your number one is, too. And I bet it's also other people's number one.
I'm sure.
Oh,
I don't
God
know what you
think
mean.
I just, like, I'm so glad we're friends, guys. just
all right, let's not go crazy yet. Okay. All right, Anne, what's your number one?
Number one.
Transparent Season 2.
Yeah!
Once again, totally shocked by this pick.
Yeah.
Shocked.
I can't think why.
Shocked. I think the first episode of season two, which is the marriage, is the
yeah
best episode of television I've seen this year.
The first scene of that first
yeah
episode, as soon as you watch it and you're still in it, you're like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like, you know, you just know immediately that you're in such good hands, and not safe hands, you know, because that show will fuck you up.
Oh, yeah.
And it did me. But it's like, for that, you know, for that single take, when they're at the wedding, you're just like, okay, I know what I'm watching, and I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm. And then
it gets even crazier.
Yeah, that single, it's like a movie. It's on.
It really is. And I mean, yeah. Talk about, like, just, I'm like stepping on your toes with this pick, but it's like, you talk about, like, the shot selection. You have that long take of all of them when they're taking the photos, and then when you actually get into the wedding party, it's like Soloway switches visually what her take is, and she's juggling all of these, you know, these two shots and these three shots, and everyone is in the, I don't know the Hebrew word, but where they're all dancing together.
The hora.
they're in the hora, and there's all of this plot and this all of these very important details that are, you know, happening between two or three characters or whatever, all within this one scene where all the characters are churning together, and all of those plot lines are clear, and you're not confused and everything. I mean, and it's crazy how mm-hmm. much they just pack into that one episode.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I heard some complaints that this year people found Mora's plot line to be flatter. I don't think it's flatter. This season was a lot more about people, about the very, very fucked up Pfeiffermans, figuring out what they wanted both physically and mentally. And I think a lot of her path this year was about discovering her, how to relate to herself as a woman, including sexually. And I thought that was extremely poignant. Plus, it gave us random Angelica Houston, and I am here right? for, like, magical Angelica Houston just popping up out of the woodwork. But also...
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing that they set up at the beginning, which has its payoff in, like, the second to last episode, which is the sudden flashback to the Weimar Republic. Uh-huh. Of, like, where did this come from? Everybody is dancing the horror, and then all of a sudden it's 1933 Germany, and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, and, like, Bradley Whitford is there, and you're like, what's happening? I love Weimar Pfeffermans so much.
I know.
That's such a risky narrative gamble.
Yeah.
And it pays off so hard.
Yes, because...
It's just, it works so much.
Yes.
Yes.
In a way that it shouldn't.
Yes, absolutely.
I love it. I love it so hard. I hope Soloway continues to do it. And, oh, dear Lord, that second to last episode wrecked me. I was crying afterwards. Like, it's
pretty bad.
Yeah. And I don't cry at TV shows. I cry at movies if they're White Christmas. but I don't cry at TV shows. But I totally lost it watching this one. So,
Kristen, your top five.
Okay. Well, this is a movie seg. So two of my favorite shows this year were definitely auteurist television. One is The Nick, mm-hmm. which is all the episodes are shot and directed by Steven Soderbergh. And it's, you know, Clive Owen, turn of the century, medicine, just fantastic. Just far and away my favorite show. I think it's fantastic. And then the other one is Transparent. Transparent came back again this year. Jill Soloway, what a blessing. What a mm-hmm. gift to us all. Mm-hmm. It's Jill Soloway. And I thought this year they sort of auto-corrected a lot of stuff that... irked some people in season one, and they gave a lot of my favorites more screen time.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Carrie Brownstein. And and it was just fantastic, and they did something really interesting bringing in the last year it was like the Pfeiffermans, like, discovering who they were as a family unit, and this year that continued, but then they also went back into their family history and brought that into what they were dealing with in the present. The other one's probably BoJack Horseman. Season 2, phenomenal. Way better than season 1. Mm-hmm. I think the Catcher in the Rye... who's the author of Catcher in the Rye?
Oh, Brad... No,
J.D. Salinger.
Salinger, yeah.
The J.D. Salinger episode of BoJack Horseman is... I just don't even understand how good a television show could be. Like, it's just fantastic. And then old favorites, Broad City, I think had another killer season.
Mm-hmm.
And then two finales, which were really, really emotional for me because they were like my favorite show, is Mad Men mm-hmm. and Parks and Recreation.
Mm-hmm.
Just totally, really, really fulfilling ends for those characters. Really solid, solid closing to two of the best shows on TV in the past decade.
Totally. Totally. All right, Mariah.
Okay, so finale-wise, Hannibal, rest in peace. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved, season two was better than season three, but season three gave us all the romance that we all, like, saw in subtext, and they made it text. So that was beautiful. The second half of Outlander premiere aired in the spring, and there was some hot female gaze going on throughout, including some really nice butt grabs and some panning of beautifully sculpted man body. So I really appreciated that. And Agent Carter, I just have to put a shout out to Agent Carter because Haley's amazing. But my top three are like the greatest things I saw this year, and they all came out this fall. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which mm-hmm. I almost didn't watch because I didn't like the marketing. And then the critics were like, watch it. And so I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And then it was so good and so such an amazing look at what it's like to be sort of imbalanced, both in terms of probably her mental health, but also just what the fuck am I doing in life? And so it's all there. And then songs. So like, what else do you need?
Nothing.
And then The Leftovers. I loved season one. A lot of people hated it. Season two is head and shoulders way better. And surprisingly, I read a bunch of like think pieces about how it's a spiritual show. And I hadn't really thought that because I'm not a very spiritual person. So you wouldn't think I'd be watching like a spiritual show. But I fucking dig it. And Mimi Leder, who is like the number one director who everyone cites as having two good films, one bad film, and then never getting to direct a film again, came on as the EP and then directed 2/3 of the season. And her like penchant for taking over the top emotions and making them feel real and raw and amazing is like why this show really works. But also you get to see Justin Theroux cry a lot. And I really appreciate that. And it's a very novelistic season. And I don't know if I've ever seen a TV show that was structured in quite the same way where it felt like you were reading a novel, but each episode was a different chapter and it all sort of followed these threads that then tied together at the end in the final episode. It was just insane. And then my favorite show of the year was season two of You're the Worst. It's like an anti-rom-com that was last season on FX, and then this year they moved it to FXX, and where they got to be like they got to explore things that you wouldn't really think would be in a sitcom. But it's these two people that hate relationships trying to have a relationship, and then halfway through the season you find out that this character, the woman character, has clinical depression, which explains a lot about what you found out from her in the first season, where you thought maybe she was just, you know, like lazy, and it turns out she was depressed the whole time. And
hot twist.
I know. And the thing is, like, her apartment that burned down at the end of the first season really reminded me of my apartment. And then after they said that she had clinical depression, I was like, well, that's why it looks like my apartment. Yay. And then they let her talk about how, like, she just can't. There's a part where they're all trying to tell her, like, get over it or, like, help yourself or try to get medication or whatever. And she's like, I just can't. And I was like, I know that feeling so much. Like, sometimes I just can't. I can't do anything. And they let her say that and let her be that. And it was just so amazing. And then you had the other characters trying to figure out how to be supportive and live with someone who has this disorder that they can't understand and can't really help with. And that was beautiful because the male character, gets to realize that loving someone includes trying to live with them when they just can't. And it was just so beautiful and so realistic and so important because it was non-judgmental and it really just showed what it's like to both have clinical depression and be someone dealing with someone who has clinical depression. It was gorgeous.
Perfect. Martin, do you even have five shows?
This was a big stretch. This is basically like a list of five things that I watched this year, not a top five list. So Hannibal is something that I think it's sort of unfortunate that it's ended, but I hold out hope that maybe someday there might be something else to come out of that. I think it was really a wonderful series. Girls, I'm still watching. The Lena Dunham Show, not quite as strong as it used to be, but I'm still watching it. There was something called Garfunkel and Oates, which appeared mysteriously on my Netflix one day, and I've watched it like maybe five times all the way through now. And I think it's really unfortunate that there's not more seasons of it, because it really just like cheers me up and cracks me up, and it's got musical comedy that's not grating. So I enjoyed that. Master of None, I think I really like the second episode about parents and just, you know, immigrant family. It's I think a lot of that's sort of funny and touching and relatable. And I think the best thing I saw on TV this year was Show Me a Hero with Oscar Isaac. Like, you wouldn't think a show about low-income housing would be compelling and gripping, but it totally is. It's so fascinating and really sucked me in. So that's what I watched on TV.
Winona Sons.
Yeah, it's got Winona Ryder. Yeah. Holy smokes.
Winona Sons and a lot of, like, really, really dramatically exciting city council meetings. Cool. You know, it's really like, you're right. It's like, an HBO series about local government? No, thank you. And and it really, it's just, you really, that guy just really goes through the ringer, and it's more or less hangs on Oscar Isaac's just incredible, incredibly tenacious performance. Mm-hmm. He's fantastic. You're forgiven for
saying like it's the
Oscar.
Best Al Pacino performance of the last 20 years. It's Oscar.
Yeah,
Isaac.
It is, because he really does. He really is playing. I mean, not that he played Al. He was doing Al Pacino in
Most Violent
Year. Most Violent Year.
It's
very
sort
obviously.
Of the same thing here, but this, I think this is more subtle actually than.
It is. Yeah. I mean, no, but it's like this is like peak Al Pacino stuff. This is a character that you could see him being played in a motion picture, and then they just decided to tell the story to go long on the story and really get into the very, very fine details. And then at the end, what happens at the end makes sense because you've gone through so much with him and it's so long, you finally understand. Yeah. Okay, you're like,
it's devastating.
Yeah, it really is. It's really harsh because it's like there's so much optimism.
Yeah.
It like it gives you a false sense of optimism about government or about holding out the hope that anything in bureaucracy could even work for a second, and then everything goes tits up again. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Here's my top five. Number five, Orange is the New Black. It was my number one, like, beyond everything for its first two seasons, and it really had a precipitous drop in quality.
Yeah, we did get a panties monologue though.
Yeah, yes, we did.
And we found out that Piper was a comp lit major.
Yes, we did.
Which explains a lot.
Yes, not surprising. We did get Lori Petty.
We did get Lori Petty. God bless.
So happy.
God bless Lori Petty.
And like, there were definitely some great things on the show. It just wasn't
Chang.
Chang episode was
her
amazing.
Her episode was probably my favorite episode
that
of the series.
That was easily the best episode. Number four is Catastrophe. Turns out it's actually my favorite Carrie Fisher appearance of the year, which is kind of disappointing in its way. But Catastrophe, fantastic show. BBC, you can access it on Amazon Prime. It's about a couple who have this fling, a weekend fling. She ends up getting pregnant. And they move in together and plan to get married. It's delightful. Watch it. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Woo!
Already been mentioned. But the pilot is amazing. Just knockout. Like, if you enjoy the pilot, you will like this show.
Yes.
and then probably one of my favorite songs of the year is from the show, Settle For Me.
Ah, yeah.
It's so good. So fantastic. Number two, Jane the Virgin. We've already talked about this at length, but again, the narrator, probably my favorite character on television right now.
Yes.
and so, also, I love how there aren't, like, Petra could so easily be an evil villain, but they've done such a great job humanizing
her. You always sort of feel bad that she's sort of a bumbling villain who, like, gets in her own way and does evil things and then goes, damn it, I didn't want to be evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's enormously sympathetic, and I love that about
it. It's great.
And then my number one show of the year. Carrie Brownstein is in my favorite movie of the year, my favorite television show of the year, and she put out my favorite album of the year. So there
you hardcore, go. Hardcore same, Lady P. Hardcore same. also, her book is very good.
Yeah, there you go.
This is just the Brownstein podcast now.
Transparent, of course. Yeah. I had some issues with it in season one. Namely, Shelley really bothered me that she was, like, just horrible Jewish caricature.
But Judith Light brings it so hard.
She does, but maybe a little too hard.
Is it too hard for you?
Okay. I just love and everything. I was just like, stop it. Stop it right now.
It's not like the show is particularly light on Jewish stereotypes.
No,
it's kind of the most Jewish show I've ever seen.
It is absolutely the most Jewish show I've ever seen. But it was like, it's more nuanced this season.
You think so? Even with the singer at the wedding?
I think so.
I loved that singer. Fantastic.
Yes, I loved season two. I loved how it really leaned into its Jewishness. Yes. So yeah, that's generally. Oh, I did want to mention, like, this belongs kind of in a separate category. But Jeopardy had such a strong year.
Jeopardy, I love Jeopardy.
Every year.
There was an episode earlier this year where the final Jeopardy was about Bruce Springsteen, and I was wearing a Bruce Springsteen shirt.
It's perfect.
And then nobody got it, and I was like, "Fuck all of
Should
you."
Go on
it
Jeopardy.
It was so. Obviously about the E Street Band was so obviously the answer, and I was like, you all suck.
Indeed. Yeah. Also, the Great British Bake Off has brought me so much joy this year. Not exactly, like, I don't know how exactly to rank it among these other things, but I honestly don't know if anything else this year brought me more pleasure. Like, it was just like a balm on my nerves. Like, I'm feeling anxious. I need to watch The Great British.
I've heard that from so many people, is that it's the most, like, heartwarming, like, that, like, the warmest thing you could watch to make yourself feel good.
Absolutely.
I gotta check it out.
Please do. All right.